being shaped to serve. And what this is all about is a lesson series that we're doing that is focusing, helping us to really focus on two things. Number one, it is allowing God to mold us and shape us, and so that we can be used according to His purpose. And that's the emphasis. This is all about God's purpose, not ours. Okay? Now, I gave out, when we started this lesson a few weeks ago, I gave out a little reminder gift to every household. If you have not been here and you've not gotten your gift, then see me afterwards. I do still have a few of them left. I want you to have one of these. And the idea for this is that you take that and you put it in a prominent place in your home where everybody can see it. And hopefully it will be a daily reminder to you that what you need to do as you go out that day is to allow God to shape you again for His purpose. So if you don't have one of those, then please see me afterwards. Our goal and our focus and what we're trying to do here it really is for us to be able to allow ourselves to become better and more useful servants of Christ and to learn to trust Him. This is all about trust. To trust Him to direct our lives for His purpose. I keep emphasizing that because part of the problem is we want to allow God to direct our lives for our purpose. And we get ourselves in the way. This is about getting ourselves out of His way and on the potter's wheel so that He can mold us and shape us so that we become His hands, His feet, His mouth, His ears. We become the instruments of the work that He wants us to do and to accomplish for Him. Now, this morning, we're looking at a passage from Isaiah chapter 45, and we're Chuck read for us verses 9 through 11. We're going to focus mainly on verse 9. Okay? And that verse begins, you look on your notes there, it begins with God as He speaks to Isaiah, asking people, you have a quarrel with your maker? Who is it that's going to quarrel with their maker? So let's talk about quarreling with the potter. How many of you ever used this expression before? I've got a bone to pick with you. All right? Well, I understand that. That phrase, that statement, comes from way back, I think, in 15th century Scotland. And it really has to do with this idea is a couple of dogs fighting over the same bone. All right? Now, what do we use it for? When somebody says, I have a bone to pick with you, then usually it means something like this. That I want to talk to someone about something, look at this, annoying that they have done. In other words, you've done something that bothers me, and so we need to talk about this. I got a bone to pick with you. All right? For instance, I have a bone to pick with you. A husband might say to his wife, because you've been using my razor again, shave your legs. All right? Or whatever else it might be. It could be something minor or trivial like that. Guys, you hearing me? Okay? All right, buy another razor. Okay? Or it could be something much, much more important, all right? But I have a bone to pick with you. We've got something that we're annoyed at what somebody else has done. The reality is that some people have a bone to pick with God. People that are upset with God about something, they raise their fist at Him. Sometimes in defiance. And it could be that something bad has happened in their life and they're blaming God for that bad thing. And so they have a bone to pick with God. They're going to quarrel with God over whatever it is that happened. There are some people that have a bone to pick with God or quarrel with Him because they don't like the way the world is going. Okay? And I think probably everybody in here might agree with me that, like this, the world is a mess. Everybody agree with that? I do. The world's a mess that we live in, okay? But it's the world that we live in. But there are people that would say, God, why are you allowing this stuff to go on? And I think God would respond to that by saying, I created you to live in this world. Why are you allowing it to go on? Say, but people have a bone to pick with God. And then, of course, there is this one that people have a real difficult time understanding. Why do bad things happen to good people? And they have a bone to pick with God. Back when I was a trooper and I worked out in the coal fields out in Southwest Virginia for 2 week coal duty, I had a partner that I was partnered up with out there. His name was Gary. And Gary and I talked a lot about religion and faith and all those kind of things. We rode around for 12 hours a day in the police car. And in that conversations that we had, Gary let me know that he did not believe God. He didn't want to have anything to do with God. He just, you know, God was, he had a bone to pick with God. And I finally found out what his bone was. And what it was that Gary, he told me, he said, my grandmother was the best person in the whole world. She was just as good as gold. Never hurt anybody, but yet she died a terrible death of cancer. And how can I believe in a God who would let such a good woman like her die such a horrible death? That was his bone that he had to pick with God. And there are a lot of folks that are in that category. Maybe some of you here this morning. People are quarreling with God, their maker, over what they perceive as some unfairness or some way that God has not done what they think he should do. And so they would say to God this. Explain yourself, God. And this whole idea that God opens this particular part of the passage up about those who would quarrel with God, that's really what it's all about, is those who have a bone to pick with him and say, God, you owe me an explanation. Why do you allow this to happen? Why didn't you do this? Or why don't you do this? And calling God to account for what he does and he doesn't do. They're quarreling with God. Let's talk about knowing our place, because that's what he says in the next part of verse 9. Look at what he says here. You are a potsherd among potsherds on the ground. Now, you know what a potsherd is? A potsherd is a broken, notice that, a broken piece of pottery. That's right. And that's all it is a broken piece of pottery. And notice what he says, you are a potsherd among potsherds on the ground. In other words, you're a piece of broken pottery among all the other pieces of broken pottery that are scattered on the ground. And understand the message here. It is all about the potter and the clay. The potter is the one who gets to make the pottery. The rest of us, we're just clay. And not only that, but we're broken clay. We're broken pieces of pottery is what we are. And so the idea here is, how does that broken piece of pottery ever feel like he has a right to call the potter in question? You see, broken pieces of pottery, for the most part, are pretty worthless. They're not really good for much of anything except to be thrown out. For example, this is a picture of a pottery dump there in Beth Shemesh in Jerusalem, where people take their broken pieces of pottery and just dispose of them because you can't do anything with broken pottery. That's where it ends up, is on the heap, along with all the rest of the broken pieces of pottery. So the question then becomes, how can a broken piece of pottery quarrel with the potter? Okay. Do you understand the relationship there, okay? Where the potter is, that is God, and where you are, relationship, that's all we are. And therefore, we don't have the right to quarrel with the potter. That's what he wants us to understand about this. He's the potter. He gets to do with us whatever he wants to, as we've been seeing in the previous parts of our study. And we are just broken. I think the problem comes when one forgets his place. When we forget who we really are, we start feeling too high about ourselves, and we can become arrogant. And then when that starts happening, it's real easy to do this. Okay? Start pointing your finger at others and accusing them and blaming them. And especially when we point this way. Because we don't like what God is doing. How do we keep that from happening? Humility. Because humility keeps us grounded. It allows us to remember our place, who we really are, and not feel like that we have a right to be calling God to explain himself to us. The reality is God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe us a thing. We all need to understand that. Why? Because every single one of us are broken pieces of pottery. And what we deserve is to be thrown on the pile, the heap of all the other broken pieces of pottery. To be discarded, thrown away. That's what we deserve because of who we are. The really great and amazing thing about the potter, though, is he doesn't throw us away. He loves us. And though by ourselves, on our own, we can't do anything about our broken state except just lay there on the ground with all the rest of the broken pieces of pottery. But as hopeless, and this is, I think, the visualization that we need to try to get in our brain, as hopeless as it seems that you could take these perhaps hundreds of pieces of broken pottery and put them all back together, that's what God can do in us. Because he's the Father. See? So again, on our own, it's hopeless. We get what we deserve without him. But because he loves us, he's able to take us and put us back together to make us useful to him for his purpose. James tells us this: humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will put you back together and make you useful for his purpose. In other words, he will lift you up. Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 said this: whoever humbles himself will be, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If you exalt yourself and begin pointing your finger at God and accusing him and expecting him to have to answer to you because you don't like your life, God will be perfectly willing, and he's perfectly able to put you in your place. And he will do that. But if you humble yourself, God will take your brokenness and he'll put it all back together, so that you can be useful to him for his purpose. But you got to humble yourself so that he can lift you up. Now, I have something extra in this that I want to share with you. I'm not going to charge you anything extra for this morning. Okay, this is a preview. All right? Let's talk about forgiveness for just a moment. I want you to think about it this way. How can one broken piece of clay hold anything against another when both are broken? Just let that sink in. See? You may have somebody that's hurt you in some way, that you're really having a difficult time forgiving. One reason why it's so difficult is because you don't see yourself as broken. What you see is the other person's broken. And what you need to understand is that you're just as broken as they are. Remember the passage. God said through Isaiah, you're a broken piece of pottery. You're a potsherd on the ground with all the other potsherds. So, refusing to forgive is kind of like this. Here's two pieces of broken pottery, two potsherds, okay? And one says, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And the other says, I will never forgive you. The reason that can happen is because we forget our place. Our place is that we are broken. When we understand how broken we are, we begin to realize we have no right whatsoever to hold anything against another broken piece of pottery. And that makes forgiveness so much easier. So again, remember your place. You are a broken piece of pottery. A potsherd among all the other potsherds on the ground. Keep that in mind, and that will help you to forgive. Now again, that's a freebie, all right? You don't have to pay extra for that this morning when you pick it, all right? So whenever we remember that we're all broken, it really, really is easier to forgive others. Finally, the last part of this statement that God makes through Isaiah. What are you making? Right? Does the clay, he says, say to the potter, what are you making? In other words, looking at the potter and saying, basically the idea is, I don't want to be that. I don't like what you're making me into. I want to be something else. And I think that literally plays out in our lives when we are trying to get God to help us with our purpose, as it says we began this morning. God, I've got this plan. I've got this purpose. I've got this problem. And God, if you'll just work it out this way, you see how that goes? You say, God, what are you doing that for? Why are you making me this way? And sometimes it's even, God, why are you making me do this? God, why do you insist that I forgive this person? We just talked about a moment ago. God, why do you want me to do this? Why do you want me to do that? Why do I have to? You see how we can question God and why he's making us a certain way. What are you making, God? So God is saying to us as the clay, is that really how it works? The clay gets to say to the potter, what are you making me into? Just imagine that lump of clay, as we talked about in our first lesson, that's just laying there, can't do anything of its own. It's just a lump of clay. And it will remain so until it gets on the potter's wheel. The potter takes that clay, puts it on the wheel, and begins to shape it and mold it into what he wants it to be. And at no time is that clay able to say to the potter, wait a minute, I think you're making me into a pitcher and I want to be a bowl. Doesn't get to do that. Because he's the potter. And we're just the clay. Okay? So we don't get to, again, demand an answer from God as to what he's making of us. The clay has no say in what it becomes. The potter is the one who gets to decide what he needs for his purpose. You know what that really is all about, and what God is wanting Israel in that statement and you and I today to understand? He wants us to understand this word right here. Sovereignty. It is all about God's sovereignty. In other words, the idea that God is God, okay, and he gets to do anything he wants to. Why? Y'all help me out with that. Because he's God, okay? That wasn't a trick question, by the way. Alright? That's really what it means. God is sovereign over the world. The entire world, not just a part of it. And he's not, by the way, sovereign over just those who give them his life. He's sovereign over the world, the universe. Why? Because he's the creator of it. He is the potter. And that's one of the things that we have to keep in mind in our relationship with God. You know, the songs that Tom picked out for us to sing this morning are all about that. You know, it's recognizing and accepting that he is king of my life and Lord of my life. If he is anything, that's what he means. Sovereign. That's what king means. You see? And as the clay, we have to accept his sovereignty in the world and in our own individual lives. Now, let's take that, because God is speaking to Israel, you know, in this tone that says, who do you think you are? Asking me, the Father, what I'm making of you. I'll make of you whatever I want to. And God will make of us what he needs according to his purpose. But what if we were to, and this is my challenge for you as we finish this morning, what if we were to turn the tone of that question around just a little bit? And we were to ask that question, instead of in this accusatory, I don't like where this is going kind of a way, to more of an inquisitive. That changed things for us a little bit. In other words, that we would ask God that same question, but not with that accusatory tone, but rather with excitement in our mind and in our heart and in our voice that says, what are you making me into, God? You see? We get all excited about the possibilities of what God can make us into. Rather than not liking or not being happy with the way you are and the way your life is and what God is doing with you, to turn it around and ask God, God, what are you doing with me? And I want to challenge you even further and say, ask him every day, God, what are you going to do with me today? And ask him with excitement. And just see what God can do with you. You see, I think one of the reasons that doesn't happen is, again, because we look at what's going on in our life and sometimes we're so disappointed. Are you ever disappointed with your life? I get that way. Yeah. Be honest. Yeah. Life a lot of times is disappointing. And it's so easy at those moments to look at God and say, God, what are you doing? When we can just as easily look at God and say, God, what are you going to do with me today? Even though this is going on and I'm not happy with it, I don't like it, but God, I put it in your hands. What are you going to do with me today? What are you making me into today? We allow ourselves to be shaped by God that day for his purpose, because that's really what it's all about. God's purpose for you in this world. There may be some things going on in your life that you're not happy with. Maybe you just don't understand. Why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why do I have to go through this? All of those kinds of things. I want to encourage you. I want to urge you. Don't point the finger at God and blame him. And don't expect him to have to explain himself to you. But rather look at God and ask him how he can use you through whatever is going on for his purpose. Ask him to reveal that to you. And if that's where you are maybe this morning, things like that happening with you, you need some prayer, you need some guidance, some encouragement, let us know that that's part of the reason we gather together like this, so we can encourage and uplift one another. So we make that opportunity available. If that's where you are this morning, you want some help, encouragement, guidance for that, all you have to do is come up and let me know. There's someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, you need to understand you are separated from God by your sin. And you will remain so until you give your life to Christ. And what that means is that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you acknowledge Him as such. That you repent of the sin that is separating you from God. That you have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning. You don't have to wait for any special day or time or anything else. You can do it right now. So you can leave this place this morning in a saved relationship with God. If that's where you are this morning, and you're ready to make a commitment and have your sins washed away and become His follower, make Him Lord of your life, all you got to do is let me know. You can come up and let me know that, or Dale will be in the back to receive anybody. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, then he's back there to receive you. Tom has a song we've been singing for this series of lessons as a reminder to us that we're the clay and God's the potter. Let's stand together and sing.